Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into your next level with Christy Nicole live. Live from Memphis, Tennessee.
Great evening. Great evening, everyone. This is Christy Nicole, and you are listening to Your Next Level with Christy Nicole, Renewing Your Mind Weekly. I have a word today. Do I have a word for you on today? And with all that we have going on in our world at this time, I mean, so much going on, you know, and when these things begin to happen, it doesn't really catch me by surprise, you know, because we are, you know, as Christians, I'm not of the world. I live here in this world, but I'm not of it anymore. And so some of the things that go on, we knew and know that they are going to happen. We knew beforehand that they were going to happen. So it should not catch us by surprise. What we have to do as men and women of God, Christians per se, we have to pray for those people that have no idea what we know about. Some don't know about Jesus Christ. Some have heard about him but were hurt or just rejected him. And so in these last and final days, I don't want to just say evil because, you know, it is a time of evil, but in the midst of evil, there's also some good. And sometimes that's what the enemy wants us to do, is to focus on so much of the negative and not to focus on the things that are positive going on as well. And what we have to do is pray. I mean, a lot of these things have been going on, but see, we didn't have social media like we have today. We did not have all the different news outlets that we have today. We didn't have, you know, all of the data and apps that we have that make everything more, you know, it gets to our hand more quickly. It gets, you know, to our eyes and ears more quickly. So these are not things that have just begun to happen. These are things that have been coming, been happening, but however, we have overlooked. And one thing about it with me being who I am in the body of Christ, I have to stay on my face and continue to pray for our country, you know, the United States of America, but also to pray for our entire global, international world. And so, you know, I'm not surprised by what happened. Also, I'm going to be giving a quick teaching, and I'm not going to be long today. And the teaching is something that I preached on some years ago, and it was, give me that power to clean my living room. And so we focus on so much about what's going on out there in the world that we don't tend to focus on the things that's going on within us and within our own households and the things that God needs to continue to perfect in us so that we can be able to reach those that are out there in the world so that we can help them and bring them to Christ. And, you know, I am that 2 Peter chapter 3 preacher. I continue to tell y'all that, you know, God is not just taking his time or slow or he is. Yes, we are in a time right now where the Lord is speaking because he is angry at a lot of things that's going on, but he is giving them time, me time, you time, and everybody time, because though we may not be doing what they doing worldly, think about it. The Lord has a more severe issue with those of us that are called according to his purpose. You know, those of us that are called to the cloth of ministry, those of us that are called to and have chains in it that are supposed to be walking in his Holy Spirit, those are the ones that he's going to require a little more from us than those out there that didn't know him, didn't care to know him, and just decided they wasn't going to take the gift. You know, they wasn't going to take the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Ghost. They didn't want that. So, you know what, whatever. It's just like if you buy something for somebody and you go to Macy's and you spend your money on it, and it may be something beautiful and great, and you know that that person may not have that. Let's say we in the household, we're in the home area, And you know that person don't have this in their home, right? And they really need it, and you buy it for them, but because it ain't what they wanted, you know, they take it back and get the money off of it, or they go and exchange it for something different. That is no different. So that's how some people are right now in the world as far as the salvation of Jesus Christ, as God redeeming them back to him. They don't want it, you know? And I pray to God one day they do want it, but some of them never going to want it. So fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't trouble yourself for man that don't want to change. So like I said, give me the power. Give me that power to clean my living room. And that came about from Kirk Franklin had a song some years ago, and it said, give me the power. Give me that power, you know, to walk away when another little G God wants to take your place. So we're going to talk about that today. But we're going to go right now, and I'm coming out of the New Living Translation version. I feel like that's better. I myself love the Amplified version, King James, as well as New International version. And sometimes when I'm talking to the youth, the young youth, I'll go to the Message Bible because it makes it plain for them. But see, the New Living Translation makes it plain for everybody. So I'm going to be here today. Okay, so we're going to Psalms 1. Psalms 1 reads, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. They will be condemned at the, let me read that one again in this verse 5. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Not at your time, my sister, my brother. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Okay, and this is in Psalms, which was the Old Testament, so the blood of Jesus hadn't even come yet, so the blood of Jesus is here now. So they will be condemned, so we cannot condemn people, but even as ministers and leaders and teachers and pastors and preachers, evangelists and prophets and everything else, we are to give them the word that comes from the Lord to convict them for them to change, but we can't condemn anyone. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So, what are we talking about today? The Lord giving you the power to clean your living room. We're going to find out what is the living room that you are talking about today, Christy Nicole. What is the living room you telling us about today? Okay, here we go. Okay, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition of room is an extent of, tied by, or available for something. So it is the extent of space occupied by or available for something. The Greek transliterated word for room is topos. Topos. Definition of topos is place, any portion or space marked off, as if it were from surrounding space. Some examples of room from the Greek definition is an inhabited place, B, a place, passage in a book. Okay, so we talked about where give me that power to clean my living room came from about 3 or 4 years ago to my spirit to preach to the people. Okay, so we're talking about it today. So in that, the song said, give me that power to walk away when another little G God wants to take your place. Let me pause right there, people. What is a little G God? It could be your man. It could be your woman. It could be your money. It could be your friends. It could be your home. It could be your car. It could be your anointing that you didn't forget. It's the Lord's and it ain't yours. It could be, I'm just telling y'all now because this is the day we're in. It could be the things that's on TV. It could be the things that's in the world that you still got a grip on you. It could be any of those things. Because there are people even in sitting in the four walls of the church, sitting in the pew, sitting on the podium, speaking from the speaking from the pulpit that are still struggling. We so focus on what other people are doing that we cannot focus on the things that God needs to do within us. So I didn't want to preach today. This is my show, you know. It's supposed to be talk radio. But lately, every time I get on here, the Lord is advancing me to the place to come to you on this level. Okay, so that little G God wants to take his place. We just talked about topos, the transliterated word of place. And it means an inhabited place. You know, we supposed to allow the Lord to inhabit us. We the place. You know, the place. It could be a passage in a book. You know, that place in your life. We are the book. The story going to be told when we stand before him. As I just read over here in Psalms 1 where it talked about, you know, the judgment is coming. The judgment will come. It will. You hear that, some of you that want to keep putting passing judgment on other people when what you're really supposed to be doing is advising them through the word of God and through what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying, none of your flesh, and also praying on your face for to see deliverance in the lives of the people. Okay, so the very first word in the Greek transliterated word definition is place. Any portion or space marked off. You know, when you think about the portion of space marked off, your life in Christ is a separated place. Go back to Romans 12:2, where the word says, you know, to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is a place. Your mind is a place that can tear up a whole lot of things, or your mind is a place that can help create mighty great things. And so, you know, you think to go to Psalm 51 where you're saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew your right spirit in me, because a lot of times the mind has contaminated the hard drive, which is your heart, you know. So, oh, thank you, God. So we're going to go right now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to be coming from verses 14 and 18, still in the New Living Translation version, NLT, if you're following along with me today live, or you're listening to the podcast at a later time. Okay, right now, verse 14 says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a part? How can a leader be a partner with the how can a believer be a partner with the unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? That's that little G God. All the idols. I told you several things. Even food. Sometimes we got to give up our plate. We just get idols. Food become your idol. I can think right now when the Lord delivered me from fornication and things of the flesh and sexual issues, I began to replace that with food and got an addiction to sweets, and I had to ask the Lord to deliver me. And a lot of times, how does that happen? By fasting. You don't just always fast when you're fasting for, you know, different things of the, let's say, you know, a lot of times you're going to fast because you want to see a demon cast out of somebody. You're going to fast because you want to see something happen in a person's life that they've been struggling with, so you know that time requires some fasting. But there's also time to go on a fast because you need to break some stuff inside of yourself, you know, your addiction. Yeah, you might not be addicted to the things of the world anymore, but you're addicted to food. You're addicted to talking too much. You're addicted to thinking you have to answer for everything. You are addicted to, you know, you. So sometimes the Lord got to send you on a fast for those things as well. And so back to the word of God, verse 16 says, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers. God's speaking to somebody today. Some of you good Christians, you know, that you supposed to be helping folks, but they actually bringing you back down to their level. And so what can y'all have in common? I'm going to tell you from experience. It's easier, especially when you hadn't been, you ain't just laying before the Lord and letting him just saturate you. It's easier for a person that you're trying to help, and you see, you already see, ain't nothing you saying, ain't nothing you doing helping to get them out of that place. And before you know it, you talking a little bit like them, you acting a little bit like them, and before you know it, you back doing the same things that they are doing that you were supposed to be helping them with. So, you know, you just got to leave that thing alone. Therefore, verse 17, come out from among them. The Lord, who, yes, come out from among them. Even some people that, you know, they may be believers, but y'all on another level. You unevenly yoke. Come out from among them because you get stuck, man. You get stagnant. You be sinking in quicksand. So, therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Do not touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. There you go. The Lord just said it. Did Christy Nicole say, The Lord said, that's why I asked the Lord to let me be a Bible teacher. Let me always teach biblically. I can give you a bunch of cliches. I can give you a good word that I'm hearing in my spirit, but the Lord's word got to go along with it because, see, once I put the word of God on it, you can't say it was me. The Lord was telling you what he wanted you to know, and he's giving you instructions through his word how to get out. This week, you know, I always got to leave you with something. So this week, I want y'all to focus and read in your study time 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, which is what I just read, and then 1 Corinthians 6:9-20. Study that one, and it'll help you out a little further with the things of the flesh. Okay, so let's first dust and vacuum your living room today, you know. And if you have glass or hardwood floors, let us wipe down, sweep, and mop with the correct cleaning solution. But I'm not talking about those natural floors and walls and things in your natural living room. I'm talking about your spiritual living room today. So let's get the correct cleaning solution to your dilemma as a Christian or to becoming a Christian. Okay, so is there something in your living room that needs to be thrown out or maybe replaced speedily? Is there something in your living room, your spiritual living room, that needs to be thrown out or maybe replaced speedily? There are eight things. I got 12 minutes. Yes. There are eight things in our living rooms that we will use from most living rooms across America as symbols of cleaning up our lives. The living room that I am talking about on this day, people, is your lives. You, the living room you are, your life. Okay, number one, so we're going through eight, right? Okay, eight is new beginning, so you're going to get some new beginning out of this. You will be able to, once I give you all these 8 points and places you need to clean up, you have eight. The number eight biblically means new beginning. So you should get a new beginning out of this, okay? Okay, number one, company. The company people we just talked about, get away from these people. The company people you need to cut loose, letting them sit in your living room. Stop letting them sit in your living room. People you need to cut loose. That's why you stuck. If some of y'all out there stuck, I've been stuck, yes, because some of the people you got in your ear talking to you, the people that got a word for you sometime, the people the ones out there in the world, they got a word that ain't the right word, and some of the ones in the body of Christ, they got a word, but it ain't the correct word for your situation, and you wonder why you're stuck. All right, now, 1 Corinthians 15:33, it tells you about, you know, evil communication corrupts good manners. Get away from them folks that's speaking the wrong thing. Evil communication is, like I said, people in the world talking worldly stuff. Also, folks in the church that's talking in the flesh and not talking in the spirit. Okay? That's it. Number two, telephone. Yes, God. Yes, God. Telephone, talking and texting. What? Tablets and iPads and all that stuff, too. You know, talking and texting and on all these applications and things, Facebook, Twitter, emails. Stop talking to the wrong people. Or sometimes talking to the right people too much. Yes, God, thank you. Uh-huh. Number three, TV. Your life. to view. I said, this is what, yes, this is what TV I'm talking about. Your life, the to view shows, TV to view, your life in view of other people, to view shows, right? Too much action and drama is not healthy. It can and it will kill you. Turn off the bad reception, deception, and perception in your life. What are you looking at? What are you looking at every day? A bunch of action-packed stuff that you really don't need in your life? A bunch of drama that you don't need in your life? Turn off the bad perception, deception, and reception. Some of the things you're receiving, you don't need to be receiving. We just talked about that in 1 and 2, company and telephone, and social media outlets, and what else? Deception, some of the deceivers within your life that you know you can't even see. It's a deception. It's a distraction. Not only in the world, Christian people, that's why I got this show. This is a show, right, where we talk about things that people really just ain't going to talk about in the four walls of the church or front of the pulpit, because they got to worry about how you feel, what you feel. So you can listen to this show or you cannot listen to this show. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord wants you to hear, and it's the truth. The truth is this. Some people around you can deceive you, not just in the world, but even in the church. Make sure you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're getting with the people that the Lord wants you to be with and nothing and nobody else. Well, how do you get there? The place where I used to be, and then when I got back in the church, when I got back to flowing in ministry, because one while I just was serving, I didn't want to deal with that stuff no more, I wanted to just be a regular layman, and I didn't care about no titles, no credentials I have and had, I just wanted to walk with the Lord and be a normal, regular person in the church. And then when you get back hooked up with people, sometimes you have to be careful, and so how do you do that? The Lord said, be quiet. And let me tell you who to deal with and who not to deal with. All right, people. Number 4, couch. Couch. I sure did. Couch. The place you are sitting in life right now that's keeping you from moving forward due to fear. Fear, you've heard, is false evidence appearing real or as a reality. It is keeping you from getting up and cleaning this room you live in, yourself, your flesh. Let the Lord clean it from the inside out. See, the Lord has to sometimes do a work in you before he can do a work through you. So we have to allow him to clean us, get us out off of that couch of fear. Number 5 is curtains. Take down the curtains of disobedience, confusion, shame, and condemnation in your life. We just talked about that. Letting people condemn you, and condemnation ain't coming into judgment. Only thing you're supposed to be getting right now is convicted. Get convicted and fix that mess. Convicted mean, okay, I know I did, the Lord forgive me, and da-da-da-da, and then you start moving forward in what the Lord has for you to do and the person he wants you to be. And see, when you got those curtains up, those curtains of disobedience, confusion, shame, and condemnation, you are blocking your blessing windows. So in order, if you want your blessing windows to be able to, where you can be able to receive from God, then you have to take those curtains down, clean them curtains up, disobedience, replace it with obedience, confusion, you know, Replace confusion with understanding and shame. Let shame go. Don't be shamed. Let that mess go. Because everybody that done something, said something, acted a certain way, or been delivered from something. Some folks don't want to tell everything, but they've been through something. They've been delivered from something. And some of them going through the same thing that you're going through. And if they share it, they might be able to help free you, but they won't do that. And condemnation, be convicted, but don't be condemned. And then number 6, bookshelf. Dust the shelf off and look on the shelf and start reading the number 1 book that you need to be reading on your bookshelf. One by one, those 66 books in the Bible. If you have ever read them, begin to remember what you read. And if you haven't read them, begin to read them so that you will be able to make it through, and you'll be able to clean your life. You'll be able to clean that living room, that that person. The word of God will cleanse, purify you, and it will help you. Number seven, and I'm almost finished. Number seven, air freshener. Everybody got air freshener. You got air wicks, Febreze, Glade plug-ins, and sit-arounds, and everything else all in the car. Stop covering. You need to get rid of these air fresheners, people. Stop covering up foul odors. Let me explain what I mean. Some of them linger because, you know how you try to cover up a foul odor, but you be like, oh, what is that? Like somebody gets something dead in their house or some bad meat, or you cook chicken and you know you put the chicken thing, even though you rinse it off, you put it in the garbage can, you didn't tie it up and throw it outside in the dumpster or the trash outside, your house begins to stink the next morning. You can't cover up something. Some things you got to eliminate. Okay, so some of these odors linger because they need to be found and removed in order to ensure they are eliminated. Attitudes, habits, and addictions. You can't keep covering up with the air freshener, people. You can't, the air freshener in your living room, you covering up attitudes, habits, and addictions. They're going to come out. You can't keep covering them up. The foul odor is going to start to sink somewhere. Number eight, computers. Computers is, the computer goes for PCs, Macs, laptops, notebooks, iPads, tablets, tabs, some of these new cell phones we got, these smartphones. Dust off your keys. And when I say dust off your keys on your computer, PCs, and all these things, we're talking about your spiritual living room, right? So the keys symbolize is control. You need to get control of some of the stuff that is out of control. Allow the Lord to help you get control. You that are filled with the Holy Ghost, get control. You need a refreshing. You need a refilling. You may be speaking in tongues, but you need a refilling. You may be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you hadn't received that evidence yet, but you need to get control. The Holy Ghost will help control your life. And the Hebrew meaning of keys is opener. Wipe down your screen, people. Wipe down your screens, the screens in your life. Purify them, your analytical thinking. I analyze everything. You're talking about an analytical, just analyze everything. The Lord had to condition me. He'll say stuff and tell me things and know it's from him or give me a vision. And I'm analyzing what the Lord has said or what the Lord is showing. And some of us overthink things. Some of us analyze too much. So wipe that down with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse it, purify it so you can hear from the Lord and you can move forward. Also, start backing up. You know, on a computer, you back up your files so that you can protect them and have them in case your computer crashes, right? Start backing up the important files in case your computer device catches a virus. Sometimes we get a virus, right? I think about when I had cancer and I was sick. But some days I didn't feel like reading off of the Bible. I didn't feel like looking on those screens of my different mobile devices. So I had to pull something inside of me I already had in order to move forward. Upload the valuable information you downloaded over years and share with others that have incomplete or incorrect information about Jesus Christ. Romans 10:8-15, read that this week too. So leave you with this. He has given each of us power to clean our living rooms. Now, what are you going to do about the mess in your life? As I always tell you, be encouraged, be empowered, and be effective on this earth until the day of Jesus Christ's return. Until you hear my voice again, be blessed.